Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I'm the founder of the Open Heart Project, and I am delighted to enter this new year with you. Happy New Year. Today, we're going to talk about the sixth of the six paramitas. And if you missed the first five, no problem. You can jump right in here. That would be fine. But if you want to go back and listen to the other ones, there will be links in here to do so. Just a quick recap, the six paramitas are also known as the six transcendent actions, the six actions that can actually transport us to the other shore. So as I think I've mentioned before, you may look around this world and think, there's no way. I can't help. There's no way to make this better. There's no way to get to the other shore, the shore of decency and sanity and love and friendship and justice. I don't know how that's going to happen. Well, I don't either. Except the six paramitas say this is how. Do these six things. And these six things are generosity, discipline, patience, exertion, meditation, and today's topic, prajna. But let me remind you, these are not ordinary forms of generosity and discipline and so on. Rather, we're talking about transcendent generosity, transcendent discipline, and so on. These are qualities that have an essence that goes beyond our conventional minds, our conventional ideas of what generosity should be, or discipline, or patience, and so on. You may be entirely accurate in your thoughts about these qualities, but the transcendent version of these qualities is beyond that, whatever it might be. So, in their transcendent qualities, they have the power to help us transcend suffering. And not only our own suffering, of course, but the suffering of others. So, generosity is what you are naturally capable of when you remain connected to your own richness, whatever that richness may be, monetary or richness of good character or richness of knowledge on a certain topic or richness of possessions, whatever those riches are, when you remain connected to what you already possess as richness, generosity is a no-brainer. Discipline simply means the willingness and the ability to come back. It doesn't mean beating yourself up or becoming a better person or anything like that. It just means at some point you catch yourself in an undisciplined activity or state and you let go and come back to what's really important to you. Patience is the result of having no expectations. That's a big one. But if you have no expectations or you lighten the grip of your expectations, then all you have left is patience. I'm going to turn off my phone. Exertion or vitality is what you come into possession of naturally when you practice generosity and discipline and patience. You find that you have a lot more energy, more stamina, more life force to deploy on behalf of this world. Meditation or meditative absorption is the quality of allowing yourself to be with what is, to open to your experience as it is, rather than what you think it should be, and rather than your thoughts about what is, you open simply to what is, and you allow yourself to be absorbed by direct experience. And now we come to prajna, or wisdom, the sixth paramita. And I don't know that I have all that much to say about it, although I will try, because it's the most ineffable, inscrutable, beyond thought. It is beyond thoughtness itself. True wisdom is considered beyond thought. So it's hard to express thoughts about it. before we get into that any further, the six paramitas combine what is called upaya, or skillful means, and prajna, or wisdom. Skillful means wisdom. Skillful means refers to anything that brings more benefit to this world, that increases compassion, which does not mean being nice. It means being true and authentic and connected to the present so that you know what is compassionate. Sometimes what is compassionate is to be very kind and cuddly. Sometimes what is compassionate is to be stony and silent. And sometimes what is compassionate is to get angry. So you don't know, however, if you're operating on thoughts. When you're operating on direct experience, direct knowledge is more likely. So skillful means whatever increases compassion. The first five paramitas, generosity, discipline, patience, exertion, meditative absorption, are considered skillful means, ways to deepen compassion. Prajna, wisdom, in a way stands on its own. It's sort of the foundation for effective deployment of the first five, you could say. But it is not possible without the first five, it is said. Skillful means without wisdom, we remain in the conventional world. Wisdom without skillful means, which is kind of impossible, I guess, is just you by yourself understanding things, which is really nice. But the whole point of these teachings on the six paramitas is to make the world a better place, starting with your world. So what is this prajna? What is this thing beyond thought, beyond convention? So I remember, and what does meditation have to do with it? Because that's why we're here, we're meditating together. I remember once a long time ago, I was talking to someone, I can't remember who, but I remember what they said because it was so potent and I remember it to this day, but probably 20 years ago. And it is the best answer I have to what is prajna. So I was talking to this person about my meditation practice and sort of musing, is this about cultivating the inner observer? Like I see that I'm thinking and I let go and then I see that I come back. Is the practice about the inner observer? And this person said, yes. And then at some point, you let go of the inner observer. And I was like, what? That blew my mind. It still blows my mind. How do you let go of the inner observer? What remains? If you are constantly letting go of thoughts and observations and various things to focus on your breath and your practice or your life in your post-meditation practice, and then the observer is also let loose, let free, what is left? Well, the answer, I believe, is prajna, clear seeing, wisdom, and in its most enlightened form. There's no separation between you and what is, between what is and you. No separation between subject and object. That's pretty hard to imagine unless you listen to music. I'm a big music lover. I'm sure many of you also are. If you listen to music, there's this sense of who is listening to what? Where is this music? Because it's invisible. And when I truly listen, not for what I think, but to track the recording or the performance, I become one with it. In a sense, there is no difference between subject and object, between me and music, which is a delightful notion, being a music lover. So that's one small way to imagine. The sense perceptions are great ways to consider the meaning of prajna. When you taste something, what is the difference between what you're tasting and you? Nothing. What is the difference between your cat and you? Well, something, but also nothing, because I love them. They're two, not 32. So skillful means the first five paramitas, hello, my love, can result in prajna, and prajna contains all six paramitas. I was reading this morning, the nature of prajna is that it has allegiance to shunyata. Shunyata. Shunyata, the best translation is emptiness, meaning doesn't mean everything is devoid. It means everything is devoid of independent nature. So I could say, well, I'm right here. How can you say I don't exist? Well, I am right here and I do exist. But I didn't get here in a space capsule, as far as I know. My parents gave birth to me, and their parents gave birth to them. And the food that my mother ate or the medications that she took contributed to this body. So I'm not saying that I'm not separate from them, because on one level I am, but on another level, I'm not. So where did I start? It's a question for the ages, of course. Nowhere. And where will I end? Nowhere. So shunyata is some sense of really understanding the meaning of emptiness, which I will tell you all right now, I do not. I can tell you what I've read, what I've studied, what I've contemplated, what I've noticed. But true prajna, I have heard, is dwelling in the truth of shunyata, not understanding shunyata, not recognizing shunyata, but dwelling within shunyata, the realm of objectlessness and subjectlessness. We're getting into some hardcore territory, y'all. Thanks for sticking with me. You've had enough. I understand. Shunyata cannot be understood intellectually, just like prajna. Rather, it's something that you catch glimpses of as your practice progresses. Shunyata, in other words, is something that you recognize as it is revealed. And it is revealed not by trying, even by trying to meditate. It is revealed, I believe, by relaxing, by letting go, by seeing clearly. Not by trying to see clearly, but by seeing clearly. A tall order. As with the other paramitas, prajna itself can be divided into three categories. The other paramitas also have three categories each. And the first is mundane prajna, which means mundane wisdom, worldly wisdom. You know how to be a decent human being. You understand math to some degree. You understand how our society functions to some degree. You have a sense of decorum and table manners and awareness of other human beings and what their experience might be. You can appreciate art. These are all the things that are sources of wisdom in the mundane world. Arts and sciences and philosophies and human relations, certainly. So that's the first category, mundane prajna. Might be trying to jump off a ledge here. Really rather not. The second category of prajna is prajna that transcends worldliness, that transcends the mundane. So that's what we're trying to do right now. We are exploring spiritual notions together. Meditation is a spiritual practice, not a self-help practice, contrary to popular beliefs. Although it will help yourself, that's for sure. What is your understanding of your dharma, not mine, your path? What wisdom do you possess? What are your insights into the spiritual journey? What do you know? helps deepen that journey? What are your insights and intuitions about yourself and about your path? These are forms of wisdom, prajnas, that transcend worldliness. They're not about the arts and the sciences and so on. It's what do you know about you? What do you know about your journey? And then the third category, the most inscrutable, prajna that transcends dharmas. The first category was worldly wisdom. The second category was wisdom that transcends worldly. And the third category is wisdom that transcends even that. Prajna that transcends dharmas. Your insights, your intuitions, the truths about your journey, those things are very important. But this third category of prajna transcends any dualistic notion, which I cannot explain because I do not understand. But this ultimate form of prajna is once again, I'll say, abiding in shunyata, in the recognition that there is no separate self. Well, there you are, and here I am. But the truth is, we're not separate. If you are interested in studying these notions further, and if you're not, well, stop right here, that's fine. But if you're interested in really diving into the notions of emptiness, shunyata, prajna, and so on, I recommend, with 0% hesitation, a chant called the Heart Sutra, or Prajna Paramita Sutra. Prajnas, there's that word. Prajna Paramita Sutra is a sutra, a text, about the ultimate form of prajna. Prajna Paramita, also known as the mother of all Buddhas. Because remember we talked about skillful means and prajna? Skillful means is said to represent the masculine principle. Like, get out there and do stuff. Prajna is said to reference the feminine principle, spacious and sharp and uncompromising. So the Prajna Paramita Sutra very much has a feminine principle notion, which is maybe neither here nor there. It's nothing to do with gender, of course. But the Prajna Paramita Sutra, and the whole sutra is like 25,000 pages long or something, but the particular sutra that is done throughout the Buddhist world is, you know, a page, not 25,000 pages. And it's extremely remarkable. I'll include a link to it in this email. I chant it every day, by the way, and I have for 25 years. And the first thing I can say about it, and that I can say about our topic today, prajna itself, is you can't understand it. One cannot understand it by any conventional means. However, you can make a relationship to it. So that's how it is for me with the Heart Sutra, the Prajna Paramita Sutra. I don't understand it, and I'll just quote you a paragraph in a moment so you see why I say that. But I have a relationship to it, and that relationship continues to deepen, and it feels living. It's not like, okay, understood that sutra, cross that off the Dharma to-do list. It never arrives, which is very consonant with shunyata and prajna. So we're going to practice in a minute, so I won't make this too long. But the Heart Sutra is a story. It starts with the Buddha back in the day. Once the Blessed One, that's the Buddha, was dwelling in Rajagriha someplace, together with a great gathering of the Sangha of monks and the Sangha of Bodhisattvas. Then one of his main students or disciples saw everything to be empty of nature. During this gathering with the Buddha, he saw it. His name is Avalokiteshvara. Then another student asked Avalokiteshvara, how do I do that? And Avalokiteshvara gives a fairly long answer that includes phrases like, form is emptiness, emptiness also is form, emptiness is no other than form, form is no other than emptiness. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no formation, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, etc., etc., and so forth. 37 no's, not this, not that. And then at the end, it says, there is no attainment and no non-attainment. So it's not like saying you can't attain anything, so forget about that. There is no attainment and there is no non-attainment. So you're attaining right now, and it's fluid and alive. And in a sense, apropos of nothing, but it's always happening, just as non-attainment is always happening. I know this is weird. But this is the path to become a bodhisattva, an awakened being who is here to bring benefit to the world, aka you. So somehow, and I am in no way an academic. I'm a terrible student, generally speaking. So I'm not suggesting that you study this and nail it down, or that you even think about it for one more second after this video. But there's something in here that is of great importance in the journey to transcending to the other shore. From the shore that we're at, injustice, suffering, so many things. The other shore, decency and sanity and friendship and justice. In this loopy talk are a lot of breadcrumbs, a lot of clues. And I'm not saying I put them all together and now I know how to do it. I'm saying these are the clues that I work with, and I share them with you with all my heart. And at the same time, you don't need any of this. You can just go on your way, do your practice, live your life, be open, be responsive, care, and that may be the very best journey you can ever take. So anyway, I just don't want you to think I'm going all Buddhist-y on y'all, although I am. So okay, hope that was interesting and useful. Oh, and in 2 weeks, I'm going to come back to you with the next video series. This will be a 4-video series on cultivating a bodhisattva mentality. This has nothing to do with spirituality, particularly, certainly nothing to do with religion. But okay, paramitas and prajna and so forth, now what? So to cultivate the mind of a bodhisattva, the mind of an awakened being, in this view, there are 4 qualities of that mind. And I very much look forward to sharing them with you starting in 2 weeks. Okay, let's practice. Begin your practice by establishing your posture. And even before you do that, you could recognize that you have a body. It's easy to forget. So give your weight to the cushion or chair. If you're seated on the floor, your legs are crossed loosely in front of you. If you're in a chair, please try to sit with your feet flat on the floor, unless that's uncomfortable. Give your weight. Land. We're not trying to get somewhere. We're trying to be somewhere. And that somewhere is right here. And the body is right here. So you've already succeeded. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. Sit up straight to the best of your ability. Not rigid, but dignified. And let the belly be very soft. And let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And you can let all the jaws, all the muscles of speaking relax, the jaw, the throat, and so on, because you don't need them right now. So you can relax into your own silence. There is no one in there talking. Interestingly, it is quiet. So you can rest with that quiet. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose. The eyes are open, and the gaze is cast down to a spot in front, with a sense of receptivity rather than seeking through the eyes. Let the brow relax. Let your attention come to rest on the breath, which means feel the breath rather than notice the breath. There's a distinction between noticing and feeling. Can you find it? Just feel the body breathe in and out. Let your mind be as it is. Lots of thoughts, no thoughts, icky thoughts, gorgeous thoughts, all the same. Just let your thoughts sort of recede to the background, as it were, a kind of ambient presence rather than distinct arisings, if that makes sense. And in the foreground is your breath. That's what you're paying primary attention to by letting your attention ride the breath. Follow it all the way in and ride it all the way out. There's a little gap. And then the next inhale just happens. So follow it. Feeling the body breathe. No effort is made to stop thinking or change thinking, so forget about that. Just breathing. Most of your thoughts will just come and go on their own. That's fine. However, if you notice that you've become absorbed in thought to the point where you've forgotten about your breath, thoughts have resumed occupying the foreground, great. That's very wakeful. You see what your mind is doing. So notice that. If it helps, you can label that moment thinking. Then let go. Just let go. Gently come back to this breath and begin again. This is our practice, and we'll sit together in silence until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together. And happy, happy, happy New Year.